Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Tesbe Iyar, Parashas Behal, Tavshin Ayin Dalas, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 8 May, 2014, webcasting from the cauldron of world history. It is no quirk of history that in the United Nations Organization, all 193 member states are eligible to sit on the Security Council, except for one. It's no coincidence that this state is located at the nexus of Africa, Asia, and Europe, the crossroads of the world. That's a good place for a special set-aside holy land. And as Adam and Eve, being the first creatures given free will, made the wrong choice the first time, ever since man has been a rebel, and one way is to sneer and abuse, and even murder, God's chosen singled out people whose existence is proof of his existence. How ironic that much of mankind hates the Jews for claiming to be a unique people, and then at the United Nations, the nations unite around giving Israel a singular fate. The Gentile prophet Bilam said, "This will be a people that dwells alone." The Gentiles, by the way, means the peoples of the world. And they hate the Jews for this claim and then proceed to treat us in such a way as to prove the claim. Apart from the rejection of the Jews and the idea of a chosen people, the Gentiles do just that. They choose us for singular treatment. And not only the peoples of the world, the peoples in Hebrew is goyim. You know, Gentiles is almost a perfect translation of goyim. Both mean, quite simply, peoples, nations. All the world's peoples, except your own. Every people has the concept of the goy. Take the Norwegians, those hysterical anti-Jews. Like every nation on earth, with a legal system and citizenship, they make a distinction between Norwegians and everybody else on the planet, those without citizenship who don't belong to their people. And the people who do belong get special treatment as citizens, as opposed to all the other nations, all the other goyim in the world, who are experienced by Norwegians as foreigners. And it's not only anti-Jew Gentiles in rebellion. They are helped by anti-Jew Jews. Last webcast, the focus was on the lengthy interview on Friday done by Menachem Barnea with some anonymous peace processors in which Israel was smeared with guilt for the failure of the peace process led by His Excellency St. John the Balkari, their boss. Well, it later turned out that this was no posse of some anonymous peace processors in the plural who spoke so haughtily against Israel. It really just was the number one peace processor himself, Dr. Indyk, the famous doctor of peace processing, who has never succeeded in making peace. Indeed, there was one crack in the original interview I thought particularly disgusting, and it sounded like Dr. Martin, and turns out it was Dr. Martin. I've often referenced his infamous morning interview here on Israeli radio. If you want our support, you must do as you are told. And this one was, you Jews are supposed to be smart. I don't envy Prime Minister Netanyahu having to deal with this guy and his boss, Obama. I salute Bibi for being the captain of the ship, and he is steering us through, if not shark-infested waters, then anti-Jew, Jew-infested waters, teeming with lowlife like this man. And he's not alone. You all know that, for my money, the Oslo abomination was symbolized by that infamous 1998 photograph of Shimon Peres kissing Yasser Arafat on the cheek. Well, two nights ago, ironically following Israeli Independence Day, Herzlandia's buffoon of a president, St. Simon of Oslo, was on national television, Channel 2, complaining that 3 years ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu prevented him from meeting with Abbas and did so just as they were about to reach an agreement. He also said Abbas was willing to recognize Israel as the Jewish state in return for the establishment of a Palestinian state. Here we had the president of the State of Israel blaming the absence of peace on his own prime minister and not on the Holocaust-denying mass murderer. Peres called Abbas in the interview a man of character and a fighter against terrorism and a man who is courageous and talks of peace, close quote. Yeah, and I have a bridge in Brooklyn I would like to sell to Shimon Peres. Does he really see in this anti-Semitic terrorist a man of character? He was Arafat's right-hand man. Arafat, who proved himself to be a treacherous, poisonous snake of a man, does Shimon Peres really think Abbas is courageous? In fact, like Arafat, he never ever physically risked himself for the ancient Palestinian cause. And for that matter, neither did Shimon Peres. Here is the president of the state pointing the finger of blame at his own people's democratically elected governor, leader. Oh boy, this guy, Peres, hasn't got a drop of class, of nobility, integrity in him. It is yet another act, I think, in a lifetime of such behaviors. This is why the late Rabin called him a tireless underminer. In every administration, Peres has had a secondary role. He was forever opposing the prime minister's policy nonetheless and working behind the scenes to see it fail because Shimon knew better. Peres said that the agreement he was on the verge of concluding 3 years ago with Abu Mazen was based on the Arab League initiative. And you may remember that 2002 media event in which a central player, really the messenger boy for the Saudis, whose dozen-plus nationals the year before had destroyed the World Trade Center, their flunky was none other than LTF, little Tommy Friedman, who interviewed the king of Saudi Arabia and left the country with the Arab Peace Initiative, which seemed to some to be the final acceptance of Israel by the home country of Islam. Only on inspection, it was the same old, same old. Demands for handing back all the land the Arabs in a humiliating defeat had lost to the hated Jews, and of course the so-called right of return for the ancient ones was to be part of it. Yet in the ever-bubbling cauldron of the Middle East, forever throwing up new narratives, this one entered history as evidence of the Arabs finally wanting peace with Israel, which of course Israel rejected. But in the world, according to LTF and his soul brother Matt Nindick, the absence of a peace deal here is the Jews' fault. Sooner or later, he said, the ancient ones will have their state, meaning Judea and Samaria, and they will return to their rightful owners, the Neo-Philistines. As the Israelites fought over this land for over four centuries against the Philistines and their cousins, the Canaanites, so in our time, the born-again Jewish Commonwealth has been fighting for the last generation of 40 biblical years. The Palestinians, who claim to be the direct descendants of both Philistines and Canaanites, while there's not a scintilla of tangible evidence to support that claim, it is most certainly true from a spiritual point of view. They are their descendants. The Arabs here have picked up the identity of those two ancient communities, and while there's no historical connection, tangible one, they most certainly are their spiritual offspring. Both Canaanites and Philistines seem to have been as grotesque a society as Homo sapiens ever threw up, like the Aztec at their worst. That religion required not the sacrifice of animals, as in the Jewish temple, some of whose meat was then later used for food, but the sacrifice of men who would be forcibly stretched out on an altar and have their chests sliced open by the Aztec priests, who then cut it out and ate the still beating heart. The Canaanites were also into every sexual perversion imaginable, like the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, these communities of hedonists, and the perversion of procreation into an exclusively physical thrill. The Canaanites and the Philistines engaged in behaviors God did not want to see continue in his holy land, and the Book of Judges covers this period of 440 years, during which the Israelites and the Canaanites and the Philistines contended for this land. May it not take that long for our people in this generation to emerge victorious.
אדם יסודו מאפר וסופו לאפר בנפשו יביא לחמו משול כחרס הנשבר אדם יסודו מאפר וסופו לאפר בנפשו יביא לחמו משול כחרס הנשבר
כחציר יבש וחציץ נוביל כציל עובר וחנן קלה וחרוח נושבת וחרוח נושבת וחבק פורח וכחלום אדם יסודו מאפר וסופו לאפר בנפשו יביא לחמו משול כחרס הנשבר אדם יסודו מאפר וסופו לאפר בנפשו יביא לחמו משול כחרס הנשבר כחציר יבש וחציץ נובל צל עובר וחנן קלה וחרוח נושבת וחרוח נושבת וחבק פורח וחחלום יעוף ועד יום אותו איך כלו עד יום אותו איך כלו עד יום מותו איך כלו אם ישוב ביד יקבלו עד יום מותו יחכה לו עד יום מותו יחכה לו אם ישוב מיד יקבלו כחציר יבש וחציץ נובל כצל עובר וחנן קלה וחרוח נושבת שבת וחבק פורח וחחלום יעוף ועד יום אותו יחכה לו עד יום אותו יחכה לו עד יום אותו יחכה לו אם ישוב מיד יקבל
as I say, you don't have to be one of the non-Jewish nations, a.k.a. the Gentiles, from the Latin and Italian words for nation or people, or in Spanish, gente, you don't have to be one of the Gentiles to be an anti-Jew. At their most shameless extreme, Jews can end up like Vanunu, who spilled state secrets and ultimately converted to Christianity, or you can be like Uncle Shimon, for whom the font of wisdom in the matter of Judea and Samaria is the United States State Department, the New York Times, Le Monde, the Guardian. If Uncle Shimon had his way, he would drive all of us Jews from Judea and Samaria because that is what Dr. Abbas wants. And we heard on Tuesday night from none other than this president who said that Abbas is a man of character who talks of peace. He talks of peace. And so did Adolf Hitler to Neville Chamberlain at Munich. I sometimes wonder if Shimon Peres was not in his youth working on a collective farm, accidentally kicked in the head by a mule or something. Is there no room for deceit in his universe, this universe of murderers like Arafat and Abbas? No resort to lying by them? And then there's another variety of Jewish anti-Jew behavior, which we saw yesterday, when Peres' protege, Ministress of Justice, peacemaker extraordinaire Tzipor Livni, chaired an emergency meeting at her ministry, joined by Public Security Minister Ahanovich, who was basically chief of the National Police Force, And on the other side, Attorney General Yehuda Weinstein. The emergency meeting was called and dutifully covered by the media to petition the cabinet to declare these price tag attacks terrorism. And all yours truly could do was sigh in disgust for two reasons. It's a perversion of language to call these graffiti raids terrorism when no one is terrorized by them. No one is shocked into an adrenaline-induced great fear. That's terror. This is not terror. It results the next morning in some Arabs sneering in anger, perhaps, but no one is terrorized. No one is terrified. There is no fright. What this crusade by these leftist fools is fueled by is their need to advertise to the world, as Livni has already said, that these vandals do not represent Israel. She already has written them out of the nation. She and others likewise foolishly call their antics hate crimes, when they cannot be confused with what hate crimes really are. And there's nothing wrong with Jews hating Arabs. It's normal, it's justified, it can be beneficial. What also ticks yours truly off is that another facet of this crusade is smearing all of us settlers with the behavior of these handful of juvenile people. And I say that because one of the results of this public crusade will be to increase the number of such raids and likewise the number of retaliatory Arab strikes rather than reduce them. In the lunatic 1960s and 70s, it became the fashion in New York City among teenage boys with an artistic bent to cover the subway cars with graffiti until it became an impossible situation. And so the policy was adopted by the Transit Authority that at the end of every run, no car with fresh graffiti on it would go out until the graffiti was cleaned off. And over time, the graffiti boys, who thrilled to see their artistry roaring by, learned that it would not last the day. And so over time, the boys got tired and the phenomenon ended. What CP and Weinstein are doing is pouring oil on the fire, rather than choking off the oxygen that fuels these immature people. Every news report of their antics only pleases them. Military censorship is alive and well in Israel, and it would not be difficult to ask the media not to report these raids, period. But Sifi and Yehuda have an agenda. She told the media these price tag attacks harm Israel internally and abroad. Oh yes, abroad. What will the Gentiles think? What will Thomas L. Friedman think? The editors of the New York Times. This crusade is part of Tzipi's and Yehuda's war against us settlers. Last webcast, the figure of 80,000 fresh Jewish refugees was thrown out as part of the peace plan, according to the Benedict Arnold of the Jewish People Matnindic. And if memory serves, Livni herself once used the number of 60,000. In her peace plan, only 60,000 Jews will have their lives wrecked. They'll be driven from their homes and the communities they built as well. I suppose it's one of the identifying emblems of Homo sapiens to be a rebel against the will of God, and that has expressed itself in every generation by hating his chosen people and their current ambition to live by his word in his holy land. We settlers make Jewish anti-Jews like Livni and Weinstein uncomfortable.
עצמות האלה ויאמר אליו השם אלוקים אתה ידעת כה אמר השם אלוקים לעצמות האלה הנה אני מביא בכם רוח וחייתם ויהי כל כהנה בו והנה רעש ותקרבו עצמות עצם אל עצמו והנה גידים עליהם ובשר עליו ויקרם עליהם עור מלמעלה ורוח אין בהם ותבוא בהם הרוח יעמדו על רגליהם חיל גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך ויאמר בן אדם כה אמר השם אלוקים מארבע רוחות בואי הרוח מארבע רוחות בואי ופחי בהרוגים ותבוא בהם הרוח יעמדו על רגליהם חיל גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך גדול מאוד מאוד מקברותיהם העצמות האלה כל בית ישראל ואז תוכל לראות את הפנים כולן את מי שלא ראית מאז ומעולם את אברהם ואת שרה חווה ואדם את כל מי שהתגעגעת אליו כל כך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, now we are in the middle of this latest atrocity in Nigeria, where there's a war going on, if not in conventional terms, between uniformed armies on a battlefield. It's the long-running, over centuries really, war of Islam against non-Muslims. On the 15 April, the Boko Haram cultists there, which name means, in effect, war against Western civilization in the name of Islam, they kidnapped over 300 young women aiming to become teachers and nurses, doctors, lawyers maybe. They kidnapped them and threatened them now with being sold as slave concubines to believers in the one true faith. I think it has been a while since President Bush Jr., following 9/11, said Islam was a religion of peace, and I would like to believe that that ecumenical cliché is no longer in use. I mean, who can still believe that Islam is a religion of peace? It is true that of the 1 billion-plus Muslims on the planet, most are not terrorists or kidnappers, but most of them in Egypt, I believe, see to it that their females are mutilated as part of their sexual mores and behaviors. Muslims in their majority may not be terrorists, but in their majority swear by the Quran, which does license believers to kidnap and murder and forcibly convert infidels. This week's horror story about this mass kidnapping in Nigeria brought to mind a book I reviewed in the early 1990s by one Murray Gordon, a career State Department functionary who worked at the U.S. mission to the U.N., and it was called Slavery in the Arab World. Specifically, he dealt with slavery out of Africa, not on its western bulge, That's the source of the Negro slaves in the Western Hemisphere, but in Central and East Africa, where the slave traders were not white European Christians, but brown Arab Muslims, who had been capturing blacks and enslaving them from time immemorial. The slave trade to the New World lasted about 400 years, versus the Arab raids into Central Africa, which lasted more than 1,000 years, and targeted blacks for a very different kind of slavery, not to make them field hands on plantations, but domestic servants and employed in a rich man's harem as eunuchs. The Arabs, based on the Barbary Shore, would strike south and across the Sahara Desert into the Chad region and corral as many boys as they could and castrate them on the spot. Out of, say, a group of 200, maybe 20 would survive the field surgery, and those would be taken back to be slaves to rich man's harems. And it was all kosher in Sharia law, with roots in verses in the Quran that I just happened by sheer coincidence today to come across in doing some other research for myself. One can only hope or pray for a successful rescue of these hundreds of girls, but no matter the outcome, let this horror be another lesson for the West, which finally vanquishes the political correct nonsense of Islam as not being represented by such barbarism. Of course it represents Islam. In a way, the price tag vandals do not represent Israel and the Jewish people. Islam is a universe of its endless fighting, brutality, cruelty, despotism, corruption, perversion, slavery, the antithesis of a society of free men and women. On the contrary, there are numerous verses in the Quran waving the banner of submission as the height of piety. Islam means submission. The goal of Islamic spirituality is submission, the obliteration of the individual, his will, and a rejection of the gift of freedom from the Creator. Islam is a world where liberty and justice and freedom are not the highest of aspirations, submission and slavery are. Then again, Islam is the purloined religion of Hamites. Ham, whose son Canaan was condemned to be the father of slaves of slaves.
הראש השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול והשם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה הראש השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול והשם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה והיה והיה פלא אצלי מאחר שהמקורבים שלי מאמינים לי ולמה לא ייזהר כל המקורבים אליי איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה השנה שלי הוא חידוש גדול והשם יתברך יודע שאין הדבר בירושה מאבותיי רק השם יתברך נתן לי זאת במתנה שאני יודע מהו ראש השנה והיה, והיה מלך אצלי, מאחר שהמקורבים שלי מאמינים לי. ולמה לא יזהרו כל המקורבים אליי, איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה. המקורבים שלי מאמינים לי, ולמה לא ייזהרו כל המקורבים אליי, איש לא יעדר שיהיו על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה, שיהיו כולם על ראש השנה.
Okay, that's it for this week, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, until Sunday, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.